Medusa's Web, written by Tim Powers and read by Adam Sims.
When you are in the fingers of this unwisely summoned beast, you find yourself in 100 conflicting motions all in the same moment. You grieve, you dance, you vomit, you shake, you weep, you faint, and suffer enormously, and you die. The sovereign and sole remedy is music. Francesco Cancellieri, Letters of Francesco Cancellieri to Signor Dottore Koreff, Professor of Medicine of the University of Berlin, about Tarentism, the heirs of Rome and its countryside, and the papal palaces inside and outside Rome, 1817. The Fraxinus Beo translation. The past isn't dead. It isn't even past. William Faulkner. Part 1. The Monkeys Can't Let Go of It. Chapter 1. That's a single headlight, turning into the parking lot. The woman stood at one of the tall French windows, peering through the rain-streaked glass down the slope outside. The day had not ever been very bright, and the light in the overcast sky was now fading. And I can hear the engine. It's a motorcycle, isn't it? Probably the same terrible old Honda he had when he moved out. Her cousin sighed and rolled his wheelchair across the worn carpet to pause beside her. It's a motorcycle, he agreed. Now it's behind the trees. And the engine has stopped. It's him. Her cousin nodded, still peering at the corner of the parking lot visible below. And that car now is probably his sister.
Oh, Clemaine, I don't like them coming back here to caveat.
She reached out and unlatched the window and pushed it open. A gust of cold air twitched at her short brown hair and rolled the chilly scent of wet clay through the musty air of the dining room. Clemaine Madden hiked his wheelchair back.
Relax, Ariel. I heard he's a drunk these days. Probably all pouchy and fat.
Ariel Madden turned and scowled at her cousin.
Shut up!
Clemaine grinned and held up his hands. Ariel pulled her cell phone out of her blouse pocket.
And give me a spider. I want to do a before and after.
What? His eyes were fully open now.
No. For God's sake, have a drink. Chug a glass of bourbon if you have to. Close the damn window and sit down. You've been 4 years clean.
Peering again down through the wet terraces of waving bamboo and pampas grass, Ariel snapped her fingers and stretched one hand toward him. Clemaine went on.
A before and after? You won't be able to do anything. You used up your volition years ago. You'll just sit here blinking at them like an idiot. And your after will just be an hallucination, not any real view of the future. They nearly always are. I haven't done one in 4 years. She said impatiently. I'm probably a virgin again.
Listen to yourself. If you try to force your later self to do anything, you'll probably get an embolism. Her hand stayed extended toward him. Clemaine shrugged and let his hands fall into his lap, and he stared at the carpet for several seconds. Then he dug into the pocket of his silk dressing gown and laid a folded slip of paper in her palm. Ariel touched the screen of her phone a couple of times, then, without looking, unfolded the piece of paper and held the phone a foot above it and touched the corner of the screen. The phone clicked faintly, and she gave the paper back to Clemaine.
I'm emailing it to myself,
she said, tapping at the on-screen keyboard now.
It better not be just one of your poems.
You're a big girl, he said, pocketing the paper.
You want to take it up again? That's your choice. Your disapproval is hypocritical.
Clemaine sighed.
I suppose. Do what thou wilt, child.
Her voice was mocking.
Thank you, Tetrarch.